When William Friedkin's movie The Exorcist hit the big screens in 1973, it terrified, horrified, and enthralled audiences across the world. And if some reports are to be believed, it gave rise to physical and psychological trauma for many moviegoers, with graphic descriptions of demonic possession, a child's head turning at the full 360 degrees, and some of the foulest language heard on screen at the time. The Exorcist is now a stage play, and it made its Irish debut at the Gaiety Theatre last night, and Arlene Hunt went along to see it for Arena. Arlene, before we get to the stage production, remind us about the origin of The Exorcist itself.
Okay, so originally it was a novel. What everyone knew about it first was a novel. It was written in 1971, and I've subsequently found that it was based on a genuine exorcist from the 1940s of a 14-year-old boy in Maryland. Now, there's not very many details known about it. The details that are known about it are sort of loose and have been discounted in some places and some places not. But essentially, there were Jesuits involved in it, and it was very, very serious. And then the boy who went on to kind of live a normal lifestyle after this particularly long and extended period of this, what at the time was an exorcism where they believed in demonic possession. They believed that what this boy had was a possession from a demon, because he had alternate voices. He had all of the manifestations that you would imagine. If you saw the 1973 film of The Exorcist, all of that you described earlier on, the head spinning, the strange voices, all of that, this boy had it in the 1940s. So they automatically assumed, well, it's demonic possession.
So then there was a novel.
A novel.
And then from the novel came
the movie.
Which
was adapted into the movie. And then this particular play, adapted again, stays very faithfully to the film.
So where did this production originate then?
It actually originated in L.A., so it went from LA, and then it was in Birmingham, and now it's here in Dublin. It was in the West End as well, but it was in LA that it originated first.
So the story, how do the people come to a house?
Oh, well, okay, so we'll just go back very, very briefly to the entire plot. So it's an actress called Chris McNeil, and her 12-year-old daughter, well, it's her daughter's birthday. She's 11 / 12. And she's staying in the house because she's an actress and she's on location nearby. So it's a rented house and she's just staying there. And she had no idea about the house before she moved in. It's just a place of convenience for her while she does 3 months on location. But it becomes very clear very quickly that there's something not quite right with the house. It's an older house, bigger house, drafty. Her daughter starts to hear sounds upstairs in the attic, scratchy sounds. And initially, Chris McNeil thinks, well, we probably have rats, or they didn't check out this house properly. But as the period of time goes along, and it's very quickly how this happens, her daughter goes upstairs into the attic and finds a very old Ouija board. And being a child on her own, she's quite neglected, this poor little girl. You know, she's her father and her mother are getting a divorce, and she's quite lonely, and her mom's away all day long at the production. So she's desperate for attention and desperate for friendship. So she uses a Ouija board, and all of a sudden she starts to make a new friend, Captain Howdy. And initially you just think, well, poor little kid, she's lonely and Captain Howdy's here, it's a figment of her imagination. But it soon becomes very apparent that Captain Howdy is not a figment of her imagination, but something much, much darker.
So presumably she becomes possessed, or does it happen very slowly or very gradually?
Initially, her mother and the director, Uncle Burke, they assume that there's something physically wrong with her. They think it's a mental manifestation of a physical ailment. So they call in doctors, and they have psychiatrists, and they have various different people come in. They think it's a lesion on her brain. They think it's something that is physical. But it becomes very apparent, again, very quickly, that she couldn't do the things. You know, she just wouldn't be able to do some of the things that are happening. Like, there's a scene where, the bed is shaking, the whole room is shaking, the room is freezing cold, it stinks, there's really bad smells, there's a strange voice, and the child is getting sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. So eventually, her mom, really being pushed to the limit, hears about this psychiatrist who's also a Roman Catholic priest called Damien Carras. And Damien Carras, initially she goes to him as, he's a psychiatrist and she hopes she can help. But she eventually hears that this child, she no longer thinks that this child is just sick. She thinks something is very, very wrong. She believes her daughter has got a demonic possession, and she asks him about having an exorcism, which initially he is absolutely against. Absolutely.
Now, at this stage, is she speaking in her own voice, or has her voice been altered?
No, her voice has changed completely. And the great thing about this production, and I will say this is one of the best things about it, is the demon in this production is voiced by none other than Ian McKellen, which everybody knows as Gandalf. I think is probably the best way to describe him. But he's amazing in this. It's pre-recorded. He's dry, he's sardonic, he's terrifying, he's beguiling, he's everything you want a demon to be.
Now, of course, there's one particular famous scene involving Linda Blair in the film, The Child Possessed by Demons. We have a clip from the original movie here. Max von Sydow, who plays Father Lancaster Merrin, who we haven't talked about yet, who is the principal exorcist. He's accompanied by Father Damien Carras, who you spoke about. He's played by Jason Miller in the film. And Linda Blair plays the character of the child, Regan MacNeil, possessed by the devil. You'll hear some yucky bodily sounds at the end of the scene as the famous green slime makes an appearance.
It pleased you to make in your image and to redeem through your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer. Father Carras. Damien, the response, please, Damien.
Do let my cry come unto thee.
Almighty Lord, Word of God the Father, Jesus Christ, God and Lord of all creation, gave to your holy apostles the power to tramp underfoot serpents and scorpions. Grant me, your unworthy servant, pardon for all my sins, and the power to confront this cruel demon. See the cross of the Lord. Begone, you hostile power.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
Let my cry come unto thee.
Oh my God, what a mess. That was Max von Sydow as Father Lancaster Merrin, Jason Miller as Father Damien Carras, and Linda Blair playing Regan MacNeil in the 1973 movie of The Exorcist. Arlene Hunt has been to see the Irish premiere of the stage version. So does the expert exorcist, Father Merrin, come into it?
He does. He comes in towards the end. He's actually asked to come in by Father Carras, and by the bishop who Father Carras goes to speak to, because Father Carras is a complicated character in his own right. He has lost his own faith. He doesn't have the faith required to battle, say, a powerful demon. He's not even sure it is a demonic possession. He feels it in his heart, but, you know, the psychiatrist side of him feels, again, maybe it's not. And he also knows that to perform an exorcism is dangerous in its own right. And so...
And how are the exorcism scenes done? Are they like that one? I mean, quite know whether you laugh at that one now or
from the moment
horrified.
Father Merrin arrives in the house, the atmosphere immediately goes up, and there's this powerful scream.
Who plays him?
It's Paul Nicholas. And he actually adds a wonderful burst of gravitas to it when he comes in, because he's older, he's worn, he's battle weary, and you know that he's met this demon before, which is really interesting. And as soon as he arrives in the house, the demon screams his name from upstairs, and it's really genuinely startling. You know, you will jump out of your seat for this, and it's really powerful. And the demon has been waiting for him all along to come, so they can have this overwhelming final battle over this poor
little
girl's
body. Yes, because
they have fought one another before. And Father Merrin carries an artifact from his previous battle with this demon. And the fact that this demon now inhabits the body of a 12-year-old girl and is essentially killing her and is gloating over the idea that he will kill her. He will take her with him. And so
now,
that's
what about the character of the child? I mean, it is such a fabulous role, but a very difficult role.
Yeah, hugely so. And it was really, really well done here, because the girl who plays her, she's very slight. And that's the first thing that draws your eye to her. She's quite slight. She's a slight build. And Regan herself is like 11, 12. You know, she initially, when you meet her, she's playing with a teddy bear. She's so you have to keep that in your mind. She's playing with a teddy bear when you meet her first. And by the end of the film, she has taken such a huge change, both physically and mentally and emotionally. It's just a massive flip. And it's quite a physical role. This is quite a physical role, you know, because she has to embody a demon as well. So there's, and because Ian McKellen's, it's his voice, like she does an, a really an amazing job of almost mimicking him, you know, and mimicking not just him, but mimicking the sort of the snarky, vicious, gloating, you know, physicality of that voice.
She's a small person on a bed. Is it easy yeah. to see in the theatre?
It is. It's really well done. There's a lot of focus on the bedroom, and the rest of the house is kind of slightly off stage, but the main focus is on that bedroom, because it must be on that bedroom, because that's where all of the energy of the house is. That's where the poor child is. That's where the priest must go to save her.
And what about how do they do let's say the exorcism or some of the, I mean, does she levitate? Is there, maybe you don't want to give that away.
I don't give too much away, but it's very powerful. There's a screen.
Are there special effects?
Yes, there are. There's great sound effects, great lighting effects, great lovely, lovely rolling, terrifying sounds underneath it. The voice of the demon is incredible. There's a kind of a backstage to a back sort of screen to the bedroom where you can see writing coming up, and a really gruesome writing. And insects crawling along the walls. It kind of, it pulses out when the demon's at the height of his powers.
You're selling this to me. I think it
it's
sounds,
genuinely,
yeah.
It's genuinely spooky.
Any reservations?
I wouldn't bring anyone on. I mean, it's pitched for 18 and over, and I would be conscious of that. I think it would be very frightening if you brought somebody, like a younger child to
I'm
it.
I'm frightened, you just telling me about it. Arlene Hunt, thank you. The Exorcist runs at the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin all of this week, finishing this Saturday, November the 2nd. Full details at gaietytheatre.ie.